sporty World Cup greetings to all our Voice of America listeners and viewers. You're on goal with Sonny and Muckbill. I'm Sonny Young. I'm joined by Muckbill Yabarrow. Muckbill, World Cup fever in Qatar.
Sporty World Cup greetings to you too, Sonny. Super, super exciting. We have so much exciting information that we're willing to give our viewership. Talk to me, Sonny.
Well, if our viewership might be tuning in now and doesn't have access to video, Muckbill is wearing kind of an Argentina-like jersey, blue and white, but there is another country on the front. It's not Argentina. Tell us about it, Muckbill.
It is not. It is Somalia. So I am here representing as a Somali American, and I really like the colors of this jersey right here. So hopefully in the near future, we might see Somalia in the World Cup.
How would you describe football development in Somalia, Muckbill?
I think it's getting a lot better. The under-17 team recently just qualified for AFCON 2023. They went undefeated in the Central and East Africa Cup. So I'm super excited to see what they have in store. They're developing the kids really well over there. So, yeah, best of luck to Somalia, man.
How about my jersey, Muckbill?
South Africa.
This goes back to 2010 when South Africa hosted the World Cup. And I want to give a shout out for one of our late sportsmen in Africa, Mark Ouma, who used to host our Daybreak Africa radio show, the sports segment on Daybreak Africa. Mark gifted me this jersey. So
amazing.
I'll remember him. And we have to remember Sadio Mane, Muckbill. Big story ahead of this Qatar 2022. Your reaction to Mane being ruled out of the World Cup?
Honestly, Sonny, I feel like it's the most devastating blow to not only Senegal, but to the continent at large. He was and still is the most dominant football player in Africa as of late. Right, you could make the argument and say Mohamed Salah as well has had a run as well as a former teammate of his in Liverpool, but Sadio Mane's last year's run has been really like amazing. You know, everything that he's done for his transition to the Bundesliga, where he plays for Bayern Munich, where he got injured unfortunately in a game recently. But for him to be the most capped player for Senegal and their lead scorer, and then to have to now unfortunately, you know, watch his team from the sidelines, it leaves a huge gap for that Senegalese side.
I did hear a comment from his former Liverpool teammate, Virgil van Dijk, who we will see in the World Cup for the Netherlands. He said, whenever you miss a top player, wherever they're from, it's a loss for the sport of football.
It really is, because when you're a competitor at that level, you don't want to get away with an easy win. You never want to play against a team that doesn't have their go-to star and beat them. It feels like it's almost that team is at a disadvantage in essence. But this could be a really, really huge moment for the Senegalese side to really dig deep and almost play this World Cup for their guy, Sadio Mane, and really show that they have what it takes to be able to get beyond that initial group stages even without their star player.
Muckbill, on the line, we have our friend Sunday Shomari in Doha. Sporty World Cup greetings, Sunday.
Sporty World Cup greetings, Sonny and Muckbill, all the way from Doha, Qatar. We are ready to rock this nation and enjoy World Cup.
Sunday, together, we are ready to experience the magic of football. I love that promo, Sunday. I love it. What's the atmosphere like in Doha, Sunday?
I'm telling you, Sonny, I wish you were here, my brother. It is magic. The day we arrived here, right away from the airport, we saw a lot of fans coming from Mexico. You know Mexico?
Mexico.
Yes, sir. We met big fans wearing big jerseys and big caps. You know those big hats from Mexico? They're flying in the country. Everybody is ready for the World Cup. Even the promos in the airplane. You have all these bullets with World Cup pictures, covered with World Cup stories. Everything is World Cup, World Cup, World Cup. And also, Sonny, they are very well prepared because security is of the highest. Everywhere the security, people are happy. People sure are enjoying. And you know what? At 1 a.m., the first day I got here, I went to try to talk to people. 1 a.m., there were young ladies, old ladies, children in the Bay Area and the market, Souq Waqif, you know the market.
Right,
and people
right.
Enjoying their meal and chanting. All these guys from Tunisia, from Algeria, from Nigeria, it didn't matter. Although Qatar is the one playing, but the neighboring countries, all of them are supporting and coming in to cheer for them.
Absolutely, Sonny. That was going to be my next follow-up question Sunday. I wanted to follow up with what is the feeling like, not only the atmosphere there, but how is it that the African fans are reacting and how many African fans do you see around?
I tell you, if I have a calculator, I can count, but I can't even. I was moving around with Kali, going all these places, and there are so many fans. But I can give you a figure that somebody gave me.
Okay.
I had a chance to interview a couple from Tunisia, and we were wondering how many Tunisians are in this country. And she said, we are almost 40,000 fans cheering for Tunisia. And these people travel to come here. I was like, wow, this is just one country. Mm. What about? There are so many people out here. And I think some other fans, as they say, they'll be flying in from Dubai from the day of the game and go back after that game. So not all of these fans are going to be staying here. Some of them are just coming in for the game and going out.
Wow.
But it's a lot of fans that are already in this country, my friend.
Sunday, this has been described as the most compact World Cup in history. All 8 World Cup stadiums are within 50 kilometers of the capital, Doha. So as a result, the teams are basically staying in place. They don't really have to travel much. Your thoughts on this compact World Cup?
This is very interesting. And not only the compact, you also have the metro line. The metro line that goes all around in those all 8 stadiums in and around the city. And this, for people with the higher card, which is literally the visa that you have to use coming into the country, you can go on those trains and those metro for free and move around from stadium to stadium, from areas and places to places. So I think this is a unique situation because we were used to see other World Cups, like in Brazil, some people in Rio de Janeiro, some people in Sao Paulo, and you travel. But this is a small, compact area, as you say. So I think for them, security-wise, they have to be very careful, and that's why I think they're really doing a very good job as far as security is concerned. And I also think it's good maybe for the fans who are here that if you want to go and enjoy some specific team, you don't have to worry about spending so much money or to go so far so that you can see these stadiums and these places. So I think it's a really unique and different situation.
Sunday, definitely. That's exciting. But I have to ask Sonny for a quick question. How do you feel that Sunday is over there and we're over here right now? We don't get to enjoy, you know, should the roles be reversed? Should we be on Skype talking? How do you feel? And have you ever been to the Middle East?
I have not. I have not been to the Middle East. So I'll throw that question to Sunday. Sunday, have you traveled at all in the Middle East before?
Well, Sonny, I'll tell you, I have traveled a little bit. I remember about 15 years ago, I just like on a transit here in Qatar. And after that, not much. But of course, the feel is that you get is like when I went to Egypt in Africa, but it's very close to Middle East. That will be the closest experience that I had and I see right here, right now.
All right.
Man, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Sunday Shomari from Doha, Qatar. We will definitely be checking back in with you in a couple of days. Enjoy your stay and let that World Cup fever go through you.
Thank you. I'm ready for it.
Awesome, awesome.
And Mukbil, traveling with Sunday Shamari in Doha is Kali Abdu, and we hope to have Kali on our podcast down the road, perhaps next week. But Kali, excellent videographer and reporter for that matter.
Multi-skilled. So definitely we'll be excited to have him and have his insights as to what he sees, especially when it comes to the following week. As we know, the following week will be the start of the matches and the games.
Mukbil, hold on. Kali on the line from Doha right now. Kali Abdu. Kali, how are you doing?
Sporty greetings, my brother. I'm doing
good. Good to see you, Kali. How are things in Doha?
Amazing. Like Sunday was mentioning, it's a lot of fans. One of the things that we've been very amazed to see is the amount of Africans. We've seen a lot of Kenyans. There's a lot of Kenyans who are working at the World Cup, and just a lot of Africans live here. You know, they've been here for years, and they're here supporting all African countries. It's a beautiful thing.
Kali, do you think that there are some African fans that are there that might not have their teams playing in the World Cup, but they have this level of affinity towards the other African teams? Do you sense that kind of African culture in essence over there?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're just coming from the Fan Festival, and we interviewed some Africans, and I tell you, man, the energy they had for the African countries was amazing. It was a sight to see. You know, they were cheering on all the African countries. They were chanting Tunis, they're chanting Morocco, chanting Ghana, yeah. You know, supporting Senegal, singing Sadio Mane songs. It was beautiful. They were there for Ghana, Cameroon. They were there for all the countries, you know. So even though they were from Guinea-Bissau, but they're supporting every African country. And they firmly believe that the World Cup is coming to Africa this year.
That's amazing. Beautiful.
Kali, what's your reaction to Sadio Mane missing the World Cup? I know that's been one of the big trending African stories.
You know, when we left the Fan Festival, there was a huge mural of Sadio Mane on one of the buildings, like really big. And, you know, when we were leaving, I felt the void that Sadio Mane is leaving in this World Cup. And so many fans, some Bangladeshi fans, are huge Sadio Mane supporters. They love Liverpool because of Sadio Mane, so they feel sad that Sadio Mane won't be at this World Cup. So he will be missed. I really feel for the whole of Africa that he won't be participating. But there are other African players here, and we need to show them some respect as well. And even though Sadio won't be playing, there's a lot of great players that will be playing. So we're here to cheer them on.
Absolutely. No, I really love that point. World Cups are where stars are made in essence. So there's a lot of players that might not be as well known as Sadio Mane, but I guarantee you after this World Cup, a lot of them will become household names. You'll be shocked. Shockers, you know, can happen. If you were to say, Kali, of the five African teams, who do you feel like has the best chances of coming out of the group stages?
I mean, me personally,
yeah.
I think you can't underestimate Ghana. You can't underestimate Senegal. You can't underestimate Cameroon, because they've kind of shown they've shown some substance, and they've shown that they have a lot of quality, you know, in their teams, and they have a lot of experience. Cameroon did well in the African Cup of Nations. Senegal, we already know their pedigree, but Ghana just beat Switzerland, you know, and even though it was a friendly, but they're showing that, hey, you know, we're coming here to really demonstrate that we're a good team. So I think, you know, I have to say Senegal on paper for me are the team to beat from the African teams. But at the same time, you know, Morocco may surprise people, you know, or Tunisia may surprise people. So I was telling Sunday that I think this World Cup may surprise some people. You know, some players may be here to prove a point. So, you know, but again, to answer your question, you can't go wrong if you're predicting Senegal.
the VOA's Kali Abdu speaking with us from Doha, Qatar. Thank you, Kali. You're on goal with Sonny and Mukbil. Sonny Young joined by Mukbil Yabaro here in Studio 2. We'll be right back after this break.
It is the biggest sports event of the year, the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Join VOA to celebrate Africa's king sport. In-depth coverage, pre- and post-game analysis, breakout stars, Cinderella teams, coaches, players, and let's not forget the fans from the four corners of the continent and from the city of Doha. We'll be there throughout the competition. Don't miss the fun with Team VOA Africa. Let's experience the magic of football together.
Let's experience the magic of On Goal with Sonny and Mukbil. Sonny Young joined by Mukbil Yabaro here in Studio 2. Sounds like Kali and Sunday Shamari have adjusted well to Doha, Mukbil.
That's putting it easy. They look very comfortable. They look like they've had some good rest, and they are ready for the excitement of the tournament to start. And once that starts rolling, I can guarantee you next week they will not have that level of calm.
Well, I did hear Sunday say, actually it was Kali, that there are the other African players in Qatar who can definitely make an impact outside of Sadio Mane. Why don't you pick out one? I know there's a young player from Ghana who has caught your attention.
Mohamed Kudus is a rising star for Ghana. I'm super excited to see what he does. This young man is playing for Ajax on his club team and has shown his scoring pedigree is unlike anything we've seen in a while. And the interesting thing about what we were saying earlier about Sadio Mane and how much it's going to hurt not only the Senegalese team, but the entirety of the continent. But this is one of the first World Cups where we have super high quality players, right, that don't necessarily play for your local teams, that have played at the highest levels of clubs in Europe and across the world, and they're playing for their home countries. And I feel like that is really going to change the trajectory of these African teams moving forward. So Mohamed Kudus, 22 years old, amazing, amazing score.
I love to say kudos for Kudus. Kudos for Kudus.
I like that.
But Kali also mentioned how the Black Stars beat Switzerland on Thursday in a friendly match by a score of 2-0. How much weight do you give a friendly result like that, Mukbil, ahead of the World Cup?
It's a tough call, Sonny. It's a tough call. The reason for that is, there's so many different things that you have to put into place. When you have a friendly that close to the competition, are you really playing your main players? Like, what's the main reason for these friendlies happening so close to the tournament? It really, honestly, I personally don't understand it. Seeing that this tournament is in the middle of a club season, this is a very unique point. This is the first World Cup that has happened in this style or format, I should say, right? So to have friendlies then on top of all the play that these players have already played, it could just cause more injuries. And we've seen some players, unfortunately, that have gotten injured, even in trainings. So I seen the win. I like what it does maybe for the morale of the Black Stars, but to say that the Swiss were really playing their key guys or go-to guys, it could have almost been like a scouting match, right? To see really where this team is standing at. So,
and the Black Stars will kick off their World Cup campaign on November 24th against Cristiano Ronaldo and Portugal. Ronaldo and Messi, two of the big superstars, and this could very well be their last World Cup, Mukbil. Messi, 35, I believe, and Ronaldo, 37 or 38. If Messi can somehow lift the World Cup, Mukbil, do you see that as cementing his legacy?
I think his legacy should be cemented as is, right? The difficult part about us fans looking outside, just looking from the outside in, is like we want that key player to win for the national side. To us, I feel like it's the most important one. Club teams, you can buy all these amazing players to play alongside you. You can't buy nationality, right? So to have Messi or Ronaldo be able to lift that World Cup for their team, I think puts them on another level. And I feel like Messi really has the better chance of the two, if I'm to say. He's still been playing really well for PSG. Ronaldo has been having his challenges and difficulty with his club side, Manchester United. Hasn't really played as much. So we'll see. But I think if Messi or Ronaldo were to win for their team, it would be huge. But I don't think they need it to solidify their place in, I guess, soccer football history.
Two other superstars who will be on the pitch in Qatar for the reigning World Cup champions, France, Karim Benzema, the 2022 Ballon d'Or winner, and Kylian Mbappe, who had a fairly spectacular World Cup debut 4 years ago in Russia. Mbappe saying that this could very well be his breakout World Cup, Mukbil. I mean, he had a terrific World Cup 4 years ago. But what about Benzema? What role do you see him playing for the French as they go for back-to-back World Cup titles?
I think Benzema has been playing the best football that he has been playing for some time now. And him being a little older and playing this great this late is really a testament to, you know, his perseverance. And during a time where some of his club, like his club, Real Madrid at the time, wasn't too fond of him for a bit. Zidane came in there and kind of, you know, showcased almost like a big brother mentor type of role, right? Fun fact, they're both of Algerian descent as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think he kind of, you know, took that big brother mentor role and really showed what Benzema's able to do. He really showed us this year that he is an amazing striker, and he could be that X factor for France. France are going to be missing key players due to injury, unfortunately, right?
Another fun fact, history is really against the French as they go for that second consecutive World Cup. The last team to do it 60 years ago. Brazil, mm-hmm. With Pelé, 58 and 62. And that was sort of the beginning of the Pelé era for Brazil. And the Brazilians go into Qatar as the world's number one ranked team with a superstar of their own, Neymar. How do you see the Brazilians doing in Qatar, Mukbil?
I think they do really well. I believe that they are in one of the easier groups. Coming out, they're in Group G, Brazil, Serbia, Switzerland, Cameroon. I feel like Cameroon has a real good shot at coming out of that group as well. Brazil is a clear favorite to win it, but Cameroon can definitely come out of that group. Now, what happens after that is going to depend on whether or not this Brazil side is the Brazil side that we know, because Brazil's always been, they've always had stars. They've always had players who can play individual football, right? The problem with them has been they haven't had a level of cohesion or chemistry. But I feel like the stars of this generation, especially on this team, are handpicked that they can kind of almost all play with each other. So I'm really interested to see how they play in the first couple of games in their group to get their kind of flowing their mojo going. But once they get it going, because a lot of them have been playing really, really good club football as well. So it's going to be exciting to see how they match up with each other.
You're on goal with Sonny and Mukbil. I'm Sonny Young, joined by Mukbil Yabaro here in Studio 2. Mukbil and I have actually, on the radio front, we've been profiling the five Africa teams that will compete in Qatar, and Mukbil mentioned the indomitable Lions of Cameroon. The president of the Cameroon Football Federation, their former star player, Samuel Eto'o, and, you know, I mentioned Mane winning two Africa Player of the Year awards. Samuel Eto'o, he won four four African Footballer of the Year awards. What role do you see Eto playing for the Indomitable Lions in Qatar in terms of leadership?
I'm not too sure, Sonny, as to how he will be doing, like how he will be communicating with his players on a day-to-day basis. But just knowing that you have somebody of that caliber and trusting the process, right? Cameroon's been one of those teams that has had a lot of ups and downs as it pertains to Coach Rigobert Sung's his selections, right? Mm-hmm. He's left out some potential big names off of his roster, and some fans were questioning why. Sometimes you have to let everything go as is, right? Once we see how they perform, we'll be able to judge afterwards. You can't select every single star. You know, they have a plethora of them. So I'm really just excited to see how this team performs in this group that we just mentioned, that they can very much well come out of that group. No one, who's to say Brazil doesn't implode, right? They have all these stars, and they've shown us year after year that they might not necessarily be playing this, you know, conducive style of football that really is needed to play on that high level. And if they don't show us that, Cameroon can really just go ahead and sneak by. So we'll see. We're over here rooting for all the African teams, man.
Muckbill, you know, I'm also kind of rooting for one of the African referees in Qatar, okay, from Rwanda, Salima Mukansanga. She'll be making history as one of three female referees in Qatar, and that'll be one of the firsts that we're going to see. And again, I think it's a huge role in terms of gender equity in male sports.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. We saw something similar to this with the NBA Basketball Africa League, and it's just going to show us that within the continent, we are trying our very best to move forward, and having women in these spaces is showing that they are very much able, and if not even better sometimes than the guys and their guy counterparts in doing these jobs. So I'm really excited to see how she does reffing these games.
One quick fun fact before we close this episode of On Goal with Sonny and Muckbill. Each team will be allowed 5 substitutions, Muckbill, compared with 3 substitutions at the 2018 World Cup. You think that will benefit teams having a couple extra players they can put in?
I believe it will. I think that not only helps the teams with how, you know, they can kind of almost load manage. As we can see with the club team still playing up until the tournament, a lot of these players might be fatigued, a little exhausted, legs are tired. So to be able to rotate 5 players on any given game is an amazing, amazing thing. So I'm really excited. And it also show us a lot of these younger players that might not have had the chances to play in these games. And we'll see what they'll be able to bring to us.
Muckbill Yabaro, On Goal with Sonny and Muckbill. I want to thank our producer for episode 1 of On Goal with Sonny and Muckbill, Mike Hove. Thank you, Mike. Also give a shout out for the man working the boards, our studio technician, Peter Hundley. Thank you, Peter. And we do encourage our viewers and listeners to come back. Yes, come back for episode 2. We have lots more to talk about in terms of Qatar 2022, Muckbill.
We are definitely excited to come back to you after our very first episode. We cannot wait to give you the rundown of everything that is about to happen. And that is all from Washington, D.C., Muckbill Yabaro, and Sonny Young on Goal.